For our scripture reading, we'll turn to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Hear now the word of the Lord. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the camp, and command the people, saying, Prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross this river Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess. And to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke, saying, Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, The Lord your God is giving you rest, and is giving you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all your mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he gave you. And they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. So they answered Joshua, saying, All that you command us we will do, and wherever you send us we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. Whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. Our focus this afternoon will be mainly on the first part of the chapter, and specifically verses 5 through 9, as the Lord instructs Joshua to enter the land of Canaan. Now this is the first day of the week, the Lord's Day, but also the first day of the new year, 2023. And when we consider what the Sunday really points towards, it reminds us of that eternal rest that the Lord has in store for his people. That eternal inheritance that he has reserved in heaven for those who believe in him. And so there's a forward looking to what the Lord gives his people. And that first day of eternity will be the first rest that the true rest that the people of God will enter into. That's what we're always reminded of at this time of year, of the frailty of life, the passing of time, but also the eternity that awaits the people of God. But as we study this passage, we're also reminded that we remain on this world for a time. And that even though Joshua here has the command to go into the land of Canaan to take the physical land that they were to inherit, there was a battle, there was a fight that they had to engage in. And so it is in the life of every Christian, that from the moment the Lord works in your heart, it begins that spiritual battle to fight against the enemies of sin, to take the heart, the land of the heart, to deliver it from all the enemies. And it is here that we can see how the Lord encourages Joshua, how the Lord also encourages His people to fight the good fight of faith. And as we stand before a new year, the theme of this sermon is encouragement to enter a new year. Encouragement to enter a new year. And we see in our first thought the impossible task. The impossible task. The children of Israel here were standing at the River Jordan, and they had before them an impossible task. They were camped again at the edge, the border of the promised land, like they had been so many years ago. And 40 years before, they were not able to enter this land. If they had believed the reports of most of the spies, that the land was too strong, that the giants were too big, that the cities were too well fortified, and the people gave up hope. They lost courage. They were discouraged, and they had no faith in the Lord. Even though God had delivered them from Egypt, even though He had led them through the wilderness, provided for them the whole way through, that first generation failed to inherit the promised land. And now, it's the next generation that is standing there at the border of the River Jordan, at the border of the promised land, and now the same challenges lie in front of them. And now as you and I stand here at the beginning, you could say at the border of this new year, we might be reminded of all our past failures, of all our troubles that we had in the past, the things that we have not been able to accomplish, the sins that overcome us, the temptations that we so often fall into. We might be worried what's going to happen to our life in this coming year. What will happen to our faith, to our life? What will happen to our church? What will happen to our nation? And you really wonder, how is it that we can enter into this new year? Well, here we see Joshua. He's a newly appointed leader of the Israelites. And he has this daunting task to undertake, to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. How will he lead them? How will he proceed from here? Well, this is where God speaks to him in verse 2. And he says, "Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan to the land which I am giving them." And then God goes on to explain how large that land is from what the borders of the land will be. But now Joshua and the people are faced with a test. Another test of faith. Will it be the same as the previous generation? Or will they follow? God commands them here to arise and to go forward through this river that is flooding its banks at this time of the year. Impossible to cross under normal circumstances. There's no apparent way that they can get across. And they're to take this land. And in a similar way, God commands you and I to arise and to go over into this new year with whatever impossible challenges that lie ahead of us. And if we think about that, it is an impossible task ourselves. And we might be tempted to give up from the beginning. But this is where God gives His glorious promises. And we see three specifically. The three promises that He gives. He begins with giving a promise of His power. In verse 5, He says, "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life." And what a promise this must have been for Joshua. Because 40 years ago, Joshua had tried to encourage the people himself. He said in Numbers 14, "The Lord is with us. Do not be afraid." But now here, God is using a similar promise here to strengthen Joshua and encourage him. And they need this promise. Because Israel had complained to Moses before when they heard how strong the cities were, how big the giants were. And they were worried, they felt like grasshoppers in the sight of these giants. We can't fight them. And so they had assumed that they could never defeat them. And you need this promise as well. The promise of God's power. Because how often do we fear to go forward? Because we think we cannot overcome this sin or overcome that temptation. We think we can never achieve the holiness that the Bible speaks of. We don't think we can face the persecution or opposition that we might run into in this world if we say anything about Christianity. And we feel so inadequate and so unable in our life. But God here says that with His power, no man shall be able to stand before Thee all the days of your life. But then secondly, God also gives Joshua the promise of His presence. His presence. He goes on to say, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you." And these words here mean God will not fail. God will not fail you. He won't leave you hanging or leave you powerless when you come to that moment where you have to fight the enemy. Your victory comes through God. And He won't abandon you in that hour of need. You know, as He was with Moses. You know, you think how the Lord was with Moses. He never abandoned Moses when he had to stand in front of Pharaoh those 10 times. 9 times. 10 times. The last time he wouldn't see Pharaoh's face anymore. But the Lord was still with him. Even when they had to face that Red Sea. And where to go? The Lord didn't abandon him. And when they had no water, no food in the wilderness, the Lord didn't abandon him. And when the Amalekites came up against them, the Lord didn't abandon him. And so here He gives Joshua that same promise. And this is a promise that becomes more precious every year, isn't it? As those of you who have walked with the Lord year by year, how precious this is to know that God will never leave you, never fail you, never abandon you. As He says in Isaiah 43, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. Fear not, for I am with you." And Joshua realized that without God, it was impossible. We need Him. Not just to enter this year. Not just to start us off on the journey. But to go with us every step, every day of the way. "I will not fail you. I will not abandon you. I will not leave you powerless." How often do we need to hear that? And that's why in verse 6 God can say, "Be strong and of a good courage." That means then have the strength to be able to perform the duties that God commands you to do. And have the courage to face these dangers knowing that He is with you. "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you." And God gives you these promises of His presence as you have to enter this new year. It's not just for Joshua. It's for everyone who trusts in the Lord. But then the third promise is the promise of possession. In verse 6, "For to this..." For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Yes, there is a battle to be fought. Yes, there are enemies to conquer. But he says, take courage because God has promised to give you this land as an inheritance. Israel would inherit this land of Canaan, this promised land. God would give them the victory. For God's people, there is that inheritance that is laid up in heaven, which Christ has secured for his people. But in this life, it speaks about sanctification. God promises a victory to be freed from sin, to be made like Christ, where the land of our hearts, our lives, will be delivered from the power of sin and the enemies. But from the moment of our salvation to the end of our life, there will be that battle, the battle against sin, putting sin to death, overcoming temptation day after day. And the promise of victory and the promise of possession are there. But the land still needs to be taken. And the enemies of sin are strong. They are giants. And this is why God says, be strong and of a good courage, knowing that your strength comes from Him. And so how then do we proceed? Well, God gives these glorious promises, but He also stipulates the way, the strategy that we must use in this fight. No battle is without a strategy. So we see in our third thought, the concrete strategy. And God gives us great responsibilities. Verse 7 begins and ends by saying, only be strong and very courageous. And at the end of the verse, it says that you may prosper wherever you go. And to prosper then means to make progress, to succeed. Because you want to succeed and prosper in everything you do. But there is a proper strategy that we must follow. We must remember where our strength comes from. That's what gives you the courage. God gives us His promises, but He also gives us the responsibility to follow the direction He has given us. And we have to follow our commander. It's like Joshua, who later in Joshua 5 would meet the commander of the army of the Lord as he came to him. We must follow our master, the commander, the captain of our salvation. And so the first responsibility that he gives us is to obey our commander. Verse 7, God says, only be strong and courageous. Only, that word only there can be, has as a meaning of exclusively, be exclusively strong and courageous for this purpose. For the purpose that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Your exclusive responsibility, you could say, is to obey God's word. In the army, there is no tolerance for disobedience or going your own way. And neither is there here. Our exclusive responsibility is to obey the commander, God's word. We cannot fight this battle in any other way than by observing to do the word of God. It doesn't matter what kind of opposition we face in our life. Because there will be times when we think that this law will not be able to help us. You might think that we can have a better plan. There will be times we want to rely on our own righteousness, on our own abilities, on our own works, our own strength, our own efforts. But we'll never find any help there. And the same is true in the church. Sometimes we think that we need to change our worship to make it more acceptable. Or more effective in our day. Sometimes we think God's law has no more place in our society. But this is the only way to succeed and to prosper. The first principle in this battle is to observe, to do according to all of God's word. And then to enforce this, God adds in verse 7, Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. So he's saying the same thing here, but in two ways, to emphasize it. And now he states it in the negative. He says, do not depart from it in any way. It means be so careful to obey God's word, you do not stray, you do not drift off, you do not wander off the path that God has set for you. Because wandering off the path is going your own way. And disobedience for the Israelites would result in severe curses and judgments. It would result in curses in their family life, in their health, in their food production. It'd result in immorality and violence in the land. It would cause God to bring natural disasters and enemy armies to conquer them. Those are all part of the curses that he laid on his people if they would disobey. But here God is commanding his people all to destroy the enemies out of the land. They were not to keep any of them alive. They're not to make allegiances with them. They're not to keep them. Otherwise it would cause Israel to sin. And this is very much a picture of the life of a Christian, the life of sanctification, where God commands you and I to put all sin to death, to put all sin out of our lives. We must not keep even the smallest thing contrary to God's word in our heart or our mind or our deeds, because it will cause us to wander, cause us to compromise, cause us to disobey. We must observe to do according to all of God's word by simple obedience, fighting sin, Satan, and this world. And then for Joshua to be able to lead this people in this straight path of obedience, what does he need? He needs to know what this law is. So God instructs us in verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. So God again emphasizes here this principle in two ways. First, stating it negatively, the law shall not depart out of your mouth. It must never leave us. There must never be a time in our life when we speak or act or do that is not based on God's word. It must always be influenced by it. But then secondly, positively, he says, you shall meditate on them day and night. It must become part of our lives. This is our great duty and responsibility, that no matter how busy our lives are, we must take the time to read, to meditate, to study God's word, so that it will always direct our hearts, our lives, and everything we do. God instructed everyone, especially kings in the Old Testament, to read his law daily. But a few chapters later in Joshua, God shows us what happens if we do not remember his law, if we do not observe to do what he has told us, if we do not seek his guidance. Because you remember how the Gideonites came over the hill with old, worn-out clothing, with moldy bread, and they said, we come from a faraway country. Make peace with us. And so they made a covenant with them that they would not kill them. And they found out a short time, a few days later, that they were a neighboring city, just a few miles away. And they realized they'd been tricked, but they didn't seek God's counsel. Another one is when Achan, he stole some of the goods out of Jericho when they had commanded him not to take anything for themselves. And as a result, God punished not just his family, but the whole nation. Because they tried to go fight the little city of Ai, and the Lord was not with them to help them, and they were defeated. Sin affects not only you individually, but sin will affect your family, it will affect your church, and it will affect your nation. Sin is a serious matter, and this is why it needs to be rooted out everywhere. And we need to know God's law to be able to obey it. It needs to be with us. We need to read it all the days of our life. We have to be immersed in it so that, God says, you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. So the purpose of knowing is for the sake of doing. And if we don't know, we can't do. That's why we need to listen carefully when we hear God's word. And so he says, or as we enter this new year then, we have to go in the power and in the strength of God through his word. And so he says, only be strong, be very courageous, be exclusively determined to know and obey God's word in the year of our Lord 2023. Read it, meditate it, follow it, observe it, and live it. That is the concrete strategy that God gives you and I for this year. But he gives us more. In the fourth place, we see his divine consolation. Divine consolation, that he shows us that he is the sovereign God in this battle. The purpose that God has in mind is your success, that you would prosper and succeed. As he goes on to say in verse 8, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And this success only comes by observing and doing God's word. This is the only strategy that will work. And the reason is because this success and this prospering is not a self-gained victory. It's not our individual success, but it carries, these words have the meaning that we are being caused to prosper. You are being made to prosper and have success because God is the one who's giving it, because you're following his commands. God promises them the land flowing with milk and honey, a land that is of abundance and prosperity. But the focus here is not on the financial gain and on the material gains, but the focus is on taking the land, the possession of the land that is now inhabited by wicked idol worshippers. And that's why God instructed them in Deuteronomy that they have to destroy even the king's names from under heaven. All the idols had to be wiped out and burned. And they weren't allowed to keep any of that gold and silver that came from the idols. Nothing had to remain that would cause them to be pulled in the way of idol worship or away from God. Nothing can remain that could snare us to sin, to purify the land. And so it is in the life of the sanctification of the believer, that we're called to root out all sin, that we must be transformed by the renewing of our minds through the obedience of God's word. Because we know, and it's very clear in our day, in our nation, that the design of the enemy is to root out everything to do with God. But the design of God is to root out everything that's to do with evil. And so, if you are a Christian, if you know and follow and love the Lord, you need to throw everything out of your heart that is not in accordance to God's word, because there will always be a conflict. And if you leave, he even had to throw away the gold and the silver. If we leave little treasures in our hearts, they will grow into idols that you will worship and follow. And this is a daunting task that lies before us in this new year. But God says, then you will make your way prosperous and have good success. Yes, you'll have many discouragements, much opposition. You'll find a lot of grumbling and complaining in your hearts because we are so unwilling to fight. It's hard work. We don't like it. So God says, be strong and of a good courage. We know that we're reluctant to enter into battle, to enter into opposition. And so often in a Christian life, we can think, well, if we're not being directly attacked, then we're fine. God doesn't promise Joshua here a smooth ride, a path free of trials or pains or sufferings, but he does promise to make him successful. But it is through the fighting, through the war. And as you enter this new year, you are to take up this battle. Cleanse your heart from all impurity and sin. Cleanse your home. Cleanse your family from everything that opposes God and his word. And fill yourself with his word. Actively seek to fight the sins that you know are in your hearts. because they were so quick to just push them to the side or push them down when they pop up. But we need to kill them, to root them out, not to leave a sliver of them in our hearts, because they'll keep growing. They'll keep coming back. They'll keep fighting. And so entering this new year has a lot of similarities with Israel here. Joshua was standing in front of that river that was flooding, impossible to pass, even for the adults, never mind the little children and the cattle that were with them. And they would face so many insurmountable odds as they began to fight. They only had so limited experience, they didn't know much. But God had promised them the land, and they must begin to take it. And there's a great responsibility laid upon them. But we're reminded here, we see the two sides. That eternal life is both the gift of God promised to His people, and yet there's a crown that has to be won by faithful obedience. It's both an inheritance that's purchased by the blood of Christ, and yet there's still the reward of those who faithfully serve Him. God gives us these responsibilities to fight, to root out sin, to live a life of holiness. And so Joshua has given us great consolation. But we have even a greater consolation, because we have the word of Jesus Christ. Now this Joshua, he is a type and a shadow of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is a greater Joshua who leads His people into this battle. And the promise of success is certain, because a greater Joshua has entered a land ahead of His people. And Jesus has already defeated the greatest enemy, Satan, when He crushed His head on Calvary's hill. And Jesus leads you in the spiritual battle while you are on this earth. The final victory He has secured in heaven. The final rest awaits the people of God, where He has secured it for His people. And if you look at the Lord Jesus, He was the one who truly took this command. He was strong. He was courageous to observe, to do all that was written in the law. As He lived a life without sin, as He resisted all temptation, as He overcame all evil, as He even laid down His life to do the will of His Father. And that's where He found the strength and the courage when He went to the cross, as He looked to the glory that lay beyond. And so He could despise the shame and bear the cross. When in that darkest hour on the cross, He was even forsaken of His Father. Why? So that He could reconcile sinners to God. And so that in your darkest hour, when you have to face the enemy head on, you can know that God will never leave you, nor forsake you, nor fail you, nor abandon you, because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Jesus prospered. He had good success. He defeated Satan. He has overcome death. And that is why He can say to you that no man shall stand before you, be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Because in this battle, Christ has won the victory. And He is the one who gives you that strength. And now, place yourself again at that river. That was the next generation of Israel, waiting to enter. And now you are the next generation. The next generation of families. The next generation of Christians. The next generation of schools. The next generation of this church. The next generation of this nation. And God says, arise. Go forward. Possess the land. Fight the good fight of faith. Is that an impossible task? In your own strength, yes. But His promise is, as the Lord Jesus said to His disciples before He ascended into heaven, His promise that still comes to you and me, and lo, I am with you, always, even unto the end of the world. The promise of His presence, the promise of His power. He gives you the strategy. He gives you the courage. He gives you the power. And then He says in verse 9, to sum it up, have I not commanded you? Is it not I, the God of heaven and earth, who created the heavens and the earth? The God who opened the Red Sea, who defeated the Egyptians, and who led them through the wilderness? Is it not I that have commanded you here today to arise and to go into this new year, to go forward in the strength of the Lord in the year 2023? And so He says, be strong and of a good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verse 9. Joshua needed to hear that. You need to hear that. And I need to hear that every day. Do not fear. Do not be discouraged. But go forward with strength and great courage. Only be strong and of a very good courage, because I will be with you. I will not fail you. Amen. Let's pray. O Lord, our